Fan on Demand.
Good evening, I'm John Molinaro, and you're listening to Soccer Central Radio on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and watching on Sportsnet World. Start of the Major League Soccer season is just over a week away, and tonight we'll take an in-depth look at two of the three Canadian teams in the league. Broadcaster and radio host Tyler Green joins us from Vancouver to talk about the Vancouver Whitecaps, including the recent trade that saw Toronto FC send Matias Labba to Vancouver. Also joining us from Florida will be Montreal midfielder Justin Mapp, voted MVP of last year's Amway Canadian Championship Tournament, as we look ahead to the Impact's upcoming campaign. All that and so much more over the next 60 minutes. Thanks for joining us. Very pleased to be joined tonight by Alex Cicero tonight, who's occupying the co-host chair. Alex, how are you?
John, I'm good. I want to complain about the weather, but before we went on, I saw that Saturday is going to be minus 67 in Saskatoon with the wind chill. That is a legit number.
So. Minus 67?
Minus 67 on Saturday. So I'm not going to go there.
Wow.
I actually feel bad for all those people. But I'm good. Thanks for having me back again. Appreciate it.
I can't even imagine what minus 67
no,
feels
I mean,
like.
We had in Toronto, I think we had a minus 40 day, right? Like early in the morning one day, midweek. It was horrible. Right. It was terrible. I've never experienced minus 67, nor do I ever hope to. But that's just
crazy.
Insane. I wouldn't come to work.
No, neither would I. we're going to get to Tyler Green in just a moment, but quickly, want to get your thoughts on Matias Labba.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not a surprise that he was traded, obviously, because the team does have three designated players, so they had to offload him. Surprise, though, that it was Vancouver?
No, because I think Carl Robinson, I think this is exactly the type of player he was looking for.
I agree.
We talked to him 2 weeks ago, it seems like a perfect fit. It is a little surprising that it wasn't a loan deal. I think everyone thought that Labba would get loaned somewhere. But I guess the disappointment for me is I was kind of hoping to see Michael Bradley and Matias Labba at least 1 year in some sort of a midfield partnership. But, I mean, with signing guys like Gilberto and Bradley and Jermaine Defoe, this day was going to come.
Right.
It just seemed like the team would be able to keep their rights and perhaps bring them back in 2015. And obviously that's not the case. So, I mean, in a loan situation, they wouldn't have to face Labba in, I think they have Vancouver three times this year, but because they traded him, they do. So statistically, he was one of the better defensive midfielders in all of Major League Soccer last year. So he's only 22 and he is a Carl Robinson guy. I think it's a great fit for Vancouver.
I think that's an apt description. He is a Carl Robinson guy. I absolutely think he can fit into that mold of the type of player that Robinson likes. We're going to talk more Labba now with Tyler Green, a Vancouver-based broadcaster and reporter who covers the Whitecaps. Tyler is also the host of a brand new radio show, Soccer Talk 650 on AM 650 out in Vancouver, that launches this weekend. Tyler, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, John. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Obviously the place to start is the Matias Labba trade. Curious to hear your thoughts on this acquisition by the Whitecaps. A lot of people in this city are very big on him after the year he had with the Reds, but I'd be interested to hear what an outsider's take is on the Argentine.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, everyone looks at what Labba did, and you guys touched on it, the fact that he, you know, does have that skill, one of the better defensive midfielder players, you know, in the last MLS season there, but now comes to Vancouver and you kind of look at it thinking, okay, well, now they've got him. They've also got Nigel Rhea-Coker. Russell Tybert has been playing there a little bit, Gershon Kofi. So it's almost in that situation now where it's, well, which guy's the guy that's left out, who's going to be left out. And so that's, I think, where a lot of people are looking at it, as it just got so crowded now in that midfield, especially with that defensive role, when the Whitecaps are still searching for really that number 10 type player to kind of command that midfield. And you could say, well, maybe Tybert could play there, but he's one of those guys that you're not quite sure of. So I think for the most part, it's just one of those things that people are looking at it going, well, do we need another defensive midfielder? I look at it and think that, you know, him and Nigel Rhea-Coker could put together a really nice partnership. And like you said, a Carl Robinson type player and a type guy. So I think it might work out well for him here.
Well, and is that what you see happening? I mean, you mentioned there that there is a real logjam of midfield talent before, you know, Laba even arrived. And now it's a nice problem to have, but obviously, you know, someone is going to lose out here on playing time. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Do you see them going with the Laba, Nigel Rio-Coker in the center of midfield? Is that the sort of partnership that you see Carl Robinson going with?
Yeah, I really think that it's going to be one of those Laba or Russell Tybert trying to win that role to play with Nigel Rio-Coker. And talking to a bunch of different guys, some with the Canadian national team, some the coaching staff with the Whitecaps, and some just former players, Russell Tybert is one of those guys that nobody in any of those coaching staffs quite know what they have with him. Mm. You know, some think that he could be a winger, but then he doesn't necessarily have the flat-out speed to play the wing. Could he be that number 10? He's, you know, has looked okay in the defensive midfield role, but then he's not really that destroyer, tough player kind of guy. You know, he's not going to be able to use his physical ability to kind of take over a game like that. So he's one of those guys that is a little bit on the bubble, I think. And then you look at a guy like Gershon Kofi, and I think he's the biggest loser in this because he has had so many opportunities with this Whitecaps team, and he has just been so inconsistent. He's had one of those games that he's been absolutely incredible, and you look at him and think, that's the Gershon Kofi that will be great for this team. And then the next game, he completely disappears. He does all these things wrong, and you just realize that, yeah, he's still young, and he's one of those players that I think is going to be the biggest loser because he's going to be the one, I think, left out in the cold in the end.
Tybert is an interesting one because, as you mentioned, he's been partnered with Rio-Coker in the center of midfield in preseason, and from the match reports that I've been reading, he's been pretty impressive. So, I mean, now, you know, presumably he's going to lose that spot to Laba. So, you know, you touched on it. He can, you know, he doesn't seem to quite fit in, you know, at one set spot. Do you have an idea of where the Whitecaps might best be able to utilize him?
You know, I think right now they're using him in that defensive role, but last year they used him up front, using him sort of as that, in the 4-3-3 situation, sort of on that up front right side where he could cut back and take a shot. But now they've got a lot of young, speedy guys that they look like they're going to go with. So I think he might get moved up a little bit and maybe play in that number 10 role. But then you've got a guy like Kenny Miller who's also looking like he might fit into that role as well. So, you know, Russell Tybert is another one of those guys that, like I said, people just don't necessarily know where exactly he fits in, and he might be one of those guys that's kind of left out in the cold, and maybe he becomes a bit of a super sub and one of those guys that fills in when players go out on international duty or get injured.
Tyler, I want to go back to the Laba situation because Wednesday morning, I think the report started to surface that it was probably going to be a loan deal, and I think a lot of Toronto FC fans were pretty pleased with that because obviously they didn't want to see him go, and the prospect of maybe bringing him back for 2015 is something that pleased them. But it seems something happened Wednesday where very quickly this turned from a loan to a trade deal for future considerations, whatever that is. Do you have any idea kind of how that worked and how we got to the point where there was no loan deal and this was just a flat-out trade?
Yeah, from what I've heard and from some of the people that I've talked to with the Whitecaps, it kind of turned really into, you know what, we want him or we're not taking him, as in we're going to take him for everything and we want him as a player, our player, but we're not going to help you out being a loan move. And I think that's sort of what it came down to in the end. And, you know, I don't know if Toronto was getting a lot of other offers, but you know, they were kind of maybe behind the gun a little bit, and I think the Whitecaps maybe used that a little bit to their advantage as well, knowing that Toronto needed to get move them somewhere, and they were kind of maybe playing a little bit with fire and thinking, hey, if we can get him as our player as opposed to a loan move, let's do it. And then I guess the Whitecaps went out in that situation.
Well, and what's interesting is based on what Tim Bezbachenko said on Thursday, they had some options to loan him outside the league, and they opted not to do that. And I don't know if that's strictly because Matias wanted to stay in the league, but it seemed like TFC did have some options to avoid a flat-out trade, and they didn't go that route. So I found that kind of interesting. Let me ask you this, Tyler. You talked about the number 10 that apparently this team is kind of looking for, and I've kind of read they're looking for some sort of Latin number 10 player, whatever that means. Are they close to signing anyone? And it, I mean, any names being thrown around right now? Because it does seem, as you said, like they are, you know, Carl Robinson is still looking to add even after this Lava piece.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. They keep talking about this number 10, but they're not talking about any names. And like you said, they're looking kind of for that Latin flair. So, you know, it could really be anybody down in South America, but they haven't really talked about who it is. And the joke around sort of that some of the media team is that, you know, with the Whitecaps talking about this five-person committee that they've had and how long it took to sign Carl Robinson, how long it took to finally settle the Camilo situation, then it's another one of those kind of jokes of, oh, well, they've got somebody figured out, but the five-person committee is going to take their time to figure out exactly when they're going to sign them. So, you know, there haven't been too many rumors about it. All we know is that they keep referring to this number 10 that is going to magically appear with this team.
We're talking to Vancouver-based broadcaster Tyler Green here on Soccer Central Radio. Further to that, Tyler, you know, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say this offseason has been a bit of a PR, you know, nightmare for the Whitecaps, for lack of a better word.
Could have gone better,
yeah. So I'm curious, what's sort of the temperature of the average fan in Vancouver with regards to all this? I mean, do you get a sense, is there great optimism? Is there great sort of belief that, you know, that the Whitecaps management are on the right track here?
You know what? A lot of fans have been very – it started more so with the Camilo situation and just the extent that led to.
Right.
That really kind of pushed the door down, that a lot of people – there's a big base of fans that want Bob Leonarduzzi out of the Vancouver Whitecaps and are looking at him as the scapegoat and saying, you know, if the Whitecaps can't put it together again this season – it's not the coaches, it's not the players, it's somebody at the top. And so Bob Leonarduzzi is getting a lot of heat from the fans right now. And whether or not he would be out of the Whitecaps organization, that's a big question. The ownership group likes him, and he's been around forever. It's one of those situations that you can't quite read, as the ownership is pretty quiet on what they believe with the management staff.
From your perspective, obviously you talked about the need for a number 10. Any other holes that you think that the team really hasn't addressed on the roster so far this offseason? Other players that you feel that they need to go out to really make this a well-rounded and complete side?
Well, I think the biggest thing is when you lose a 22-goal scorer, you're trying to figure out where those goals are going to come from. And that's the biggest thing. And, you know, you look at Darren Maddox. Yeah, he scored 7 goals in his first season there, in his rookie year. And can he put that back together and score some goals? Omar Salgado is almost like a new addition there for the Whitecaps, because he's been hurt so much that now all of a sudden he's back into the lineup. And Kakuta Manang showed a lot of potential last year, and could this be the breakthrough year for him? So I think for the forward position, they have a lot of potential, but they don't necessarily have that one guy that you know is going to be the one that scores goals. And then for me, I look at the goalkeeping situation, and I think, you know, David Dosted was fairly decent last year, but he didn't, you know, really show what everyone in the organization talked about what he could show. And I think that's still a big question mark as to whether he can do enough and is good enough to really take this team to the next level on that goalkeeping situation. So for me, those two, along with that potential number 10, are the kind of the key things for me to see what this team has in the upcoming season.
Salgado's very interesting, because we're talking about a number one overall pick back in 2011. And as you touched on, Tyler, I mean, he's just hasn't seen the field. I think he's broken his foot like two or three times. He's still so young. And I wonder, you know, if I'm looking at it from Carl Robinson's perspective, are they realistically expecting, I mean, much out of this guy this year? Like, are they pretty much just saying, you know, if he can play half a season, that's a bonus to this point?
Well, I think right now what they have slotted in is Darren Maddox in that sort of lone striker role with some speed elsewhere. But he played in the Whitecaps preseason game on Wednesday, and he actually did fairly well. He was getting in good positions to get some shots on target. He had a nice flick on that led to the Whitecaps opening goal, the winning goal for the Whitecaps. And so he has shown a lot of different little things, and he's one of those guys that, you know, I kind of look at him and stand beside him and think this kid should be in the NFL as a quarterback. He is,
yeah.
You know, he's like 6'4". He's about 220, just a solid mass of a kid and really just a young guy so far. And he has, I think, that strength to hold off defenders right now and do something special. So I think the Whitecaps, through this preseason, have kind of looked at him and have grown a little bit more in confidence that he might be able to do something a little bit more than just be that player that is going to play a couple games and then get hurt. I think they have some high hopes for Omar Salgado this season.
When you look at the Western Conference this year, you know, the Whitecaps finished seventh last year on 48 points. It's a very simple question, but what needs to be the biggest change in order for Carl Robinson to get this team back in the playoffs? What does he need to see in order to leapfrog? Probably, you know, it'll have to be a couple of teams to get above that playoff line.
For me, it's going to come down to when I look at that offensive scoring, there's not going to be a lot. This team's going to need to be tough to play against defensively and just not give up a lot of goals. That is, I think, the way for the Vancouver Whitecaps to leapfrog some teams and get into a playoff picture. Because, you know, right now I look at this team and I don't think they're a playoff team at all. That could change, obviously, and depending if they all buy into Carl Robinson's system. But that's what they need to do. They need to make sure that they're a team that cuts down on the goals against and basically becomes the toughest team to play against.
Tyler, obviously, you know, with some Canadian talent on the Whitecaps roster, young talent aside from Russell Tybert, there's Bryce Alderson and Sam, I always mispronounce his last name, Adukube? Help me
Sam
out.
Sam Adukube.
There you go.
Good try, John.
Good try. realistically, how much playing time do you think that they might see this season under Carl Robinson? Because I know when we had him on 2 weeks ago, Carl said he was, you know, really committed to the young players on the side. But, of course, any new coach is going to say that. So, I mean, from you're probably a little bit more objective and realistic about this. Honestly, how much playing time, how much do you think they're going to figure into Robinson's plan this year?
Well, a guy like Adekubi, I think they have a lot of high praise for, and I think he's a guy that's going to get a lot more playing time than one might expect. You know, Jordan Harvey, depending on his health, he could definitely, or he is going to back up quite a bit. Adekubi can also play on the right side for the Vancouver Whitecaps a little bit. So there is that option there for him. You know, I definitely see him getting that time during the Voyageurs Cup and playing in that, and then getting a few games here and there when there's sort of that busy stretch of schedule. And, you know, depending on whether Steven Bateshear gets a call up to the World Cup, etc., could lead to some more playing time for Adekubi. As for the other Canadian guys, like Bryce Alderson, he's kind of one of those players that's sort of on the cusp of, you know, probably, I think, being maybe one of those guys in the 18, but as we talked about, he's a guy that is probably fairly low now on that totem pole in the midfield with, you know, Laba now coming in, Rio Coker, Tybert, Kofi, you know, Belushi as well. So there's a lot of bodies in that midfield. But he might be a guy that I think the Whitecaps trot alone out to another team, whether they send him down to Charleston to play with their USL Pro affiliate. They tried to send a couple guys to FC Edmonton, but Colin Miller turned that possibility down. So, you know, he might be a guy that they look again. And he battled a lot of injuries last year as well. So Alderson, for me, might be a guy that they try to send out there on loan somewhere just to get that full year of experience under his belt.
I know Kenny Miller scored in Vancouver's last preseason game. How's he looked so far, Tyler?
Has battled kind of a hamstring injury throughout preseason, some injuries elsewhere on the Kenny Miller body. So he's, you know, hasn't seen a lot of action, but got into some action there over the last couple of preseason games and has looked actually pretty good. You know, Kenny Miller is one of those guys that could fit into that number 10 role because he has the brains and the smarts to play in that type of role. But he's just one of those guys that is smart enough and has been around the game long enough that he can get into those certain positions to make sure that he has an opportunity to take a crack at net. And so he is, you know, other than the injuries over the last couple of preseason games, he's looked pretty well and pretty good. And through the training, he's also looked pretty good. So, you know, I think Kenny Miller is kind of looking at this as his 6 months of doing something really special to either get a move back to Scotland and the Rangers talk that has never quite gone away with Kenny Miller, or extend his stay here in Vancouver. So I think we might see a very motivated Kenny Miller again this year.
Tyler, what did you make of the appointment of Carl Robinson?
For me, it was that, and I think a lot of people think this, it wasn't necessarily the sexy choice.
Right.
With all the rumors of Frank Yallop, Bob Bradley, even Jason Kreis, even though everyone knew that that wasn't actually going to happen. But it was almost as if Carl Robinson was sort of sitting in the back pocket of the Whitecaps and was just waiting to kind of get announced if they couldn't find somebody better. It's sort of what they look at. I think a lot of people are looking at it. And Carl Robinson may turn out to be the greatest coach the Whitecaps have ever had. But, you know, at this point, I think he's kind of that guy that he was the very good backup plan.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's how everyone's looking at it. But at the same time, I think the people are sort of buying into that system. The players anyway are buying into that system. And if he starts putting together some good results, I think that that very good backup plan will turn to a very good signing as a coach.
Well, you know, watching his introductory press conference as head coach a couple weeks ago, I mean, listening to Bob Leonarduzzi speak at the beginning, it was pretty clear that Bob Bradley was their top guy.
Absolutely.
They couldn't get him, and Carl's there. But, I mean, we talked to him a couple weeks ago, and as we told him, it seems like the players are buying in. It's only preseason, but sure, if they could have had Bob Bradley, he would be the coach right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He would be the coach.
Yeah.
Tyler, we got to go, but listen, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good luck with your new radio show coming up, and don't hoard all the cookies in the press box this season, okay?
I will try not to hoard them, especially when Toronto comes out here for the Voyagers Cup, but thanks for having me on.
No problem, Tyler. Best of luck. Cheers.
See you, Tyler.
Tyler Green from Vancouver. That's an inside joke for people who don't know. Tyler and I are good friends, and he has this habit of hoarding all the baked cookies and baked goods in the press box on game day in Vancouver. So, and he always tweets out photos.
Does he?
Yeah, so.
Well, I'm sure you asking him not to eat is not going to deter him.
Yeah, he's probably going to eat five now.
Yeah.
Coming up after the break, Montreal Impact midfielder Justin Mapp joins us. You're listening to Soccer Central Radio on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and watching on Sportsnet World.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
Soccer Central Radio here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet World. John Molinaro, joined by Alex Xero in the co-host chair.
Can you follow me on Twitter, by the way? You don't follow me on Twitter. It actually bothers me. Just add me. Come on, do it.
I'm very judicious about who I follow.
I know you only follow 94 people. I checked before the show.
Yeah.
And you promoted the show and you tried to put my Twitter handle out there and you got it wrong.
And I got it wrong.
And I replied and you never replied back to
me. I didn't see your reply.
Oh, I don't believe that.
No, that's
true. Nah, I don't believe it. You hate me. I know it. Why do you hate me?
You're never coming on the show again, Alex.
Just trying to correct you. No reply, nothing. Whatever. It's cool. I get it.
Well, don't be that way. You know?
I'm going to be whichever way I want to be. Then follow me.
No, I'm not going to succumb to peer pressure.
Oh,
sir.
God. It's a Portuguese thing, isn't it?
I
knew it. I knew it.
It's an Italian-Portuguese thing.
Damn.
We do everything better than you guys. Well, except chicken and cod, I would say.
And take penalties.
And yeah.
If you want to go there, we can, Molinaro. Yeah.
Hey, four World Cups, buddy. Win something, then you can chirp. We chatted Vancouver Whitecaps in the first block of the show with Tyler Green. Now we're going to turn our attention to the Montreal Impact. And joining us on the phone from Florida is Impact midfielder Justin Mapp. Justin, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. You've been down in Orlando with the team competing in the Walt Disney Tournament. Season is just over a week away. You're going to open the campaign on the road against Dallas. Wondering, from your perspective, how has the team's preseason preparations gone so far down in Florida?
Yeah, it's been good preparation so far. We've kind of moved it along step by step and been able to get some quality games in here down in Florida, and it's been good. Hadn't got the results necessarily in this tournament, but it's preseason, and we're just trying to get one step closer to being ready here in about 8 or 9 days in Dallas. So it's been good. One more game on Saturday, and then next week is the real deal.
Frank Klopas took over for Marco Schalabam this offseason. I know you've had a couple of weeks now to work with Frank. I'm curious to know what your early impressions are of your new coach.
Yeah, it's been good. I was able to be around him a little bit with my time at Chicago, so I knew him a little bit. But he's been good. He's been very good at communicating with us, what he wants from us. Throughout the year, tactically, different things like that. So I think he's communicated his ideas really well with the group. He keeps it light at times, and it's never too serious. So it's been good. I think the guys responded well to him, and early on in the process, I'm sure he's still trying to get used to certain players on our team and personalities and things like that, which is normal, and vice versa. So it's still early in the whole process, but it's been good with him so far.
Does he have a different managerial style than Marco Schalabam? I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, each coach, having played for a number of them, they're all a little bit different in their own way.
Right.
I think Frank's been around the league a bit more, obviously, and I think he just knows, I like Marco Schalabam for sure, but I think Frank's been around it a bit more, kind of knows what the beast of MLS is. And knows really the intricacies of the league and how it works and how to be successful. So I think that's a big difference. One had a bit more experience in it than the other. And he's been around the league and the players and has a lot of knowledge of it. So I think that'll help us as a team moving forward.
Justin, it's going to be the 13th year already in the league for you, which is incredible and a testament to the way that you can maintain how much of a solid play you are in this league. And last year, by all accounts, you had a really good year. I know you get this question a lot, but I mean, how do you do it, and how do you keep going? What's the key? I mean, if you tell anyone they could have a 12-year career playing professional sports in any league, I think they take it. You've done that already, and it seems like there's no slowing down. So what's the key to just maintaining such a high impact on the field?
Yeah, I think a little bit of it's good fortune. Knock on wood, I haven't had any major injuries. You see some players get. So hopefully that continues, and it's just taking care of your body. I'm not a 2021 anymore, and I can bounce back each day. So you really got to get your proper rest and preparation off the field, and just realize you've seen. Guys that I started playing with in this league that have begun to retire, and you realize you do only have one career, and once it's over. So really cherish each year and each game, practice, et cetera. And just keep going.
Obviously the end of last year was pretty disappointing by all accounts. Based on what you've seen in the off season, bringing in the new coach, someone, and some of them, it doesn't seem like there was a lot of player movement really with the team, but what's the mindset? What are you guys talking about looking at this season? What are the hopes for the 2014 campaign?
Yeah, well, I think obviously, each off season, there's always a shakeup and change around the league. And this year was no exception. Obviously, each team's looking to get better and bring in more quality players. And we've seen that happen a lot with the teams in the Eastern Conference. So I think we got a good core here and we're not going to take a step back and say, well, we didn't bring anybody in. We're not going to do well this year. So
right.
I think we got a great group and a good core of players. And I think we'll approach it the same way we did last year, every game, with the mindset that we can win every game, despite who we're playing, names on the other teams. We want to win. So approach it the same way as we did last year. And obviously disappointing in last year, but hopefully we can change that this year a little bit.
We're talking to Montreal Impact midfielder Justin Mapp here on Soccer Central Radio. You mentioned it there about the disappointing end to the 2013 season, Justin, and obviously, with the playoffs, with what happened there in Houston. And it was so surprising because you guys came out very strong out of the gate. And I think the consensus was, you know, this Montreal team could potentially go very far in the playoffs. When you look at how, you know, the latter half of the season, just kind of getting into the playoffs and then the early, you know, the first round exit, what happened there? I mean, how do you account for the way that kind of the season ended for you guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of us are asked that question a lot, you know, doing well for, you know, first half of the season and really coming out of the gate strong and, you know, being high in the standings for a while. And, you know, then for whatever reason, you know, I haven't been able to put my finger on it, but, you know, I think as players, we just all have to take accountability that we weren't good enough all the way around. You know, it's not one guy or what anything like that. And we just didn't get it done as a team. And obviously we saw from the first half of the season that we were capable of getting it done. And for whatever reason, you know, like I said, I can't put my finger on, but we just fell off toward the end. And, you know, like you said, snuck into the playoffs. And, you know, then our one playoff game didn't go well at all. So, you know, you just you try to learn from mistakes. Hold yourself and everyone else around you accountable and, you know, hope you can, you know, change something moving forward. So,
is that done now? I mean, as a team, I'm not sure if you guys have talked about in the locker room or on the training pitch, but have you left that all behind now? Is it still sort of lingering in your minds? Do you use it as motivation? I mean, what...
Yeah, sorry, not to cut you off. Yeah,
no, go ahead.
I think everybody, you know, we're competitors. You know, we don't forget games that we've played in, and obviously that was our last game that left a sour taste. But, you know, it was a long off season. You know, a few months. So, you know, you have time to get away, kind of clear your plate and refresh. And, you know, it's a, you know, new year, new teams. It's a different day. So, you know, we won't forget that for sure. You know, we just hopefully, you know, won't let it happen again in that fashion. So it's not something we forget, but, you definitely got to move on from it.
Right. As Alex kind of mentioned earlier, I mean, I thought so too that, you know, last year you had a very good season individually for the Impact. And when I talked to assistant coach Mauro Biello in the summer about you, he called you one of the most consistent, important players on the team. He also attributed a part of your success last season to your improved fitness levels. And I'm just curious, how much of that was because of the work you put in with fitness coach Paolo Pacioni?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's a very physically demanding league, and I think the fitter you can be, and, you know, I've learned that, you know, over the years, you know, more impact you can have. So, you know, Paolo really worked hard with me, and it's something, you know, personally as a player I have to stay on top of, and, you know, he really helped me last year, and I was able to felt physically fit for, you know, the majority of the season and cut back on injuries that I'd had, you know, in the past couple of years. So, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, I can stay fit and healthy this year. And, you know, definitely, you know, Paolo played a key role in that and, you know, continue to work with him this year for sure.
Justin, Marco Davao can't score 20 goals again this year. Like, it's not possible, right? He can't. There's no way. Is he going to do it again? I mean, you're probably going to set him up for a bunch of them, but how good has he been for you guys?
He's been amazing. You know, I think all the players I've played with, he's, you know, got to be the most clinical finisher I've played with by far. And, you know, you wouldn't think he can score 20 again, but, you know, watching this guy day in, day out, training, games, whatever, I wouldn't bet against him. You know, his age is pretty incredible. So, you know, obviously we all need to pitch in and help him out more, score some goals ourselves. But, you know, I wouldn't bet against him. The guy's just a flat-out goal scorer.
How many more years do you think he's got in him, Justin?
I don't know. He's, 36, 37 now. And,
yeah.
You know, he's still energetic like a kid out on the training pitch and, you know, never really seems to have trouble with injuries, knock on wood. So,
right.
Who knows? I think the guy honestly could play a few more years. I don't know if he's talking about this being his last one. Who knows? But, you know, I think he could play till 40 personally, but that's just me.
From a formation perspective, from, you know, going from Coach Schalabaum to Coach Klopas, I don't know if you want to give away any hints here, but do you see much of a difference in A, the way the team is going to play, and B, what your role is going to be under the new coach?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, not, you know, obviously it's preseason, so we're still tinkering with things, but from all indications, it's, you know, won't be much different than last year, personally or as a team. Just, you know, I think we want to just change some habits and be harder to play against. We gave up a lot of goals last year, and you know, I think we'll get chances, but I think collectively, you know, we just want to be harder to play against and you know, keep more clean sheets, and you know, that starts from the front all the way to the back of the defense. So not too much changes formation wise, just have a a more of a will to defend and right. really I guess limit chances for other teams.
Right. And probably try to link up more with Marco, as you did last year, to great effect. What was what's the key to the chemistry between you two? Because, you know, I watched quite a few Impact games last season, and the two of you just seem to be on the same page at all times. Is it? I don't know. What do you attribute that to?
I don't know. I think it's just getting more familiar with each other over the year. I mean, to be honest, a lot of times I would just get him a simple pass, put it anywhere around him, around the 18-yard box, and really just let him go from there. He, you saw it last year, finish from all angles, left side, right side, and, just knowing his tendencies, where he likes the ball, and just know that you get it to him, you've got a good shot of, helping your team get a goal. So, something we keep working every day, and hopefully that chemistry will continue this year.
Speaking of this year, obviously MLS, you've got that on your plates, but you also have the Amway Canadian Championship. You guys are the defending champions. You played a key role, obviously, last year as the tournament MVP. How important is that? Do you get a sense of how important that is for when you talk to guys like Biello and Matt Jordan, you know, front office guys who have played for the Impact and who've been there before for a long time, of how important this tournament is to the Montreal Impact community?
Yeah, I think you can just tell from, this last year, especially when we were able to win it, and the reception from, the fans at the airport when we got back, and just kind of hear a buzz in the community about how important this is to the city of Montreal, and, winning that, getting you a spot in the Champions League draw. So I can tell personally that it's a very important, meaningful trophy to win, and means a lot to the city and, past players and staff and whatnot. So it's something we'll try and win again, and we'll definitely put our best foot forward to do that.
Personally, I've been to Montreal, I think, only two times, saw a hockey game once, went down there for a weekend. I'm a huge fan of the city. And Justin, you played in Philly, you played in D.C., you played in Chicago. How does Montreal compare, if anything, to those cities? Because, in my rare experience going to Montreal, I think it's a great city to be in.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a very unique city. Got a lot of culture. Not a city I really knew much about at all before going there. The whole French aspect, you don't find that anywhere else really in North America. Just a very European feel, which I think is very unique, like I said, in North America, and a great sports town. They get behind their teams, the hockey, they've supported us extremely well, and it's similar to Chicago in that it's a and I guess Philly, it's a big city, a lot of people, and summertime and all, there's all sorts of things to do, and got a good vibe in it. So in that sense, it's the same, but, it's definitely different. It definitely has, like I said, the European feel to it, and I think that makes it a unique city to play in the MLS.
Can you give us a little French? Do you speak it? Have you learned anything in your few years there?
Learned a little bit. A few of us took a basic course last year,
yeah.
So I'm probably a little rusty right now. But
that's all right. I don't want to put you on the spot
later
or anything.
Later in the year, yeah.
We'll check in with you again.
Yeah.
You mentioned the it's a great sports city with, the Canadians, obviously. I'm curious, obviously the team is, the Impact well supported, but, hockey is always going to be the lifeblood of the city of Montreal. How hard is it to, how hard is it to know that you're always going to be, the sort of have to play second fiddle to the Habs in such a city like Montreal?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just is what it is. We know hockey is keen there, but I think, the Impact, we do have great support, and still as an MLS franchise, only 2 years old, so I think it can only get stronger. And like I said, I feel like the European influence in the city leaves great potential for us as an organization and as a soccer club. So, obviously hockey is king there, but I think there's a place for the Impact and can still be a pretty special place to play in the league for sure.
Right. Davey Arnault, obviously left for D.C. Patrice Bernier going to be the new captain this season. Your thoughts? I mean, you played with Patrice now for a bit. What's your impression of him both as a player on and off the field, and what kind of captain do you think he'll be?
Yeah, I think he'll fill in the captain role, pretty seamlessly. Davey was a great captain, leader, experienced guy, good guy off the field. I think Patrice, has those same qualities, obviously. I think it was kind of a no-brainer with Patrice being from Montreal and, kind of meaning a lot to the soccer community there in Montreal and kind of coming back from Europe. And just a good guy all around, on and off the field, easy to talk to. And, I think he's got good leadership roles and, got his, experience like Davey was. So just being from Montreal, I think it was, like I said, a no-brainer and, just what he kind of means to the soccer community there and whatnot. So lucky to have him as a captain, and I think he'll do a great job.
Right. Well, listen, Justin, we won't keep you any longer. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And best of luck both to you and the Montreal Impact this season.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Justin Mapp.
Keeps on going, eh?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
29.
Yeah.
It's 29.
Figured he maybe would be 35 or 36. Well, nothing to say he looks like he's 36,
no,
because of his longevity in the league.
Because he's been around for, he's one of those guys, it's 12 seasons, it's a long time.
Right.
But he just seems to be one of those guys who's been around forever in
right.
MLS.
Yeah.
And, and it's weird because he's the kind of player who I think divides opinion. Especially during his time with Philadelphia, because there was people who said, he floats in and out of games and mm-hmm. whatnot. But I don't know. For me, last season, aside from Marco Davao, probably the best player on that Impact team.
Yeah, and I'm sure Frank Lopez looks at him as a cornerstone of that midfield. I'm not sure exactly where they're going to suit him, but usually he's in the middle of the park. That's where he suited the best. So it's guys who have been in leagues for so long who continue to get better. You just have to kind of applaud to them. I'm sure there's so many guys who would want his spot. And
right.
at 29, he's I guess still in the peak. He's not, leaving his peak or just getting into it. He's still there. And like we said, it's not like the Impact made many moves. Aside from the coach, they brought in a Uruguayan, and that's really it. So
right.
this is really mostly they've lost some guys, but they haven't really brought in any. So it's a lot of the same core last year that had that, like you said, the disappointing end in Houston.
And that's why I think it'll be even more important for Justin Mapp to have just as good as his
sure.
season this year than it
yeah.
was last year because of, and Montreal still might make moves, right?
I mean,
the season is, more than a week away. They could make a couple of moves in this, beginning of the few weeks of the season. But yeah, they haven't done anything like Toronto FC.
Right.
Is basically where I'm going. So I think with that in mind, it's going to be even more incumbent upon people like Mapp, Marco Davao, obviously.
Right.
And I think that defense, they're going to have to really hold things together. And Patrice Bernier will be a key player as well.
Well, I think Davao had 20 goals last year. And the next, I think Felipe was second. And he had five.
Yeah. They'll have to be good too.
You're going to have to find some other scoring. You talk about the league coming up soon, though. The Colorado Rapids, I just want to get this in, still don't have a head coach.
Incredible, eh?
It's amazing. It is amazing. We're about a week and a half away, and they don't have a head coach.
Never heard of anything like that.
No.
Anyway, we're running out of time before we sign off. I want to thank Alex Xer for co-hosting with me tonight. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
No problem. Also want to thank the fine people behind the glass, Dan Riccio, Jen Rolnick, and Igor Enriquez for producing the show. Thanks for making us look and sound good, guys. Better than we actually are. Bunch of Premier League games on Sportsnet this week. Go to sportsnet.ca for the complete broadcast schedule to find out who's playing. We'll have a match preview up there on Friday morning. I'll be back next week with another edition of Soccer Central Radio on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet World. Alex will probably be back with me. We'll see.
If you follow me on Twitter, maybe.
No, it's not going to happen. Until then, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.